Chapter 5. The Investiture, the Imperial Palace Terror. They ran through the dome of illumination. Doors opened before Rogel Dorn, slamming back into their mountings. Arcamus sprinted in his lord's wake, muscle and piston surging in time. 10 Huskarls were with him.
"Isolate the northern zones!" shouted Arcamus into his vox.
The nearest Imperial Fist's force was half a kilometre away, and 5 levels down. They could not reach the Investiture in time, but the whole area was now a ground of battle. The remains of a collapsed walkway barred their path, but Dorn took the gap in a bound. Arcamus followed, rolling as he landed. His eyes caught the smears of blood on the floor and the bolt casings lying amongst the rubble.
"One of us died here," he thought, the realization cutting into his mind. "A legionary of the Imperial Fists fell within the palace."
A wide passage sloped up towards a distant archway. Dead servitors littered the floor. Oil and blood was slick on the pale stone of the steps. Dorn was already a third of the way up. The blast doors had been melted open. A wisp of smoke was rising from the cooling metal. His eyes caught a line of red in the smoke. Dorn was 10 strides ahead of him.
"Mine charges!"
Arcamus shouted. Dorn unclamped his bolter from his thigh and fired without pause. Bolts punched into the frame of the ruined door. The charges concealed in the frame detonated. Shrapnel blasted out. The shockwave spilled back down the tunnel, picked Arcamus up and threw him down. He spun to his feet. Red markers flashed at the edge of his vision. His chest and face were numb. Smoke and dust filled the world around him. Green markers picked out the other Huskarls as they got to their feet and ran on. There was no sign of the Primarch. Silonius looked up as the crack of the detonations rolled around the Investiture. A cloud of dust billowed up and out, enveloping the shrouded statue of Magnus the Red. For a second, the world seemed to slow. He could see the chips of stone and metal spinning in the blast wave. He noticed the thin light catch the edge of the dust and break into a halo of yellow and red.
"We have run out of time," he realized.
The other 6 infiltrators were still scattered amongst the statues. The last charges were in place, but they would not all have time to get clear. That did not matter, though. In fact, it made things much easier.
"Here it comes," he muttered to himself.
A figure broke from the cloud of debris. Dust matted the gold of its armour. But there was no mistaking what it was, who it was. Rogel Dorn fired as he ran. On the opposite side of the Investiture, one of the other infiltrators fell from the plinth of Ferrus Manus. Bright red blood stained white marble. Silonius was already swinging down from where he had been crouched beneath the shroud of the 20th Primarch. A spray of bolter fire reached out from between the feet of Great Sanguinius. Explosions burst across Dorn's armour. He did not even slow down. He fired again, and another figure was falling in a shower of splintered skull and chunks of brain. Arcamus heard the sound of gunfire and ran towards it. The dust cloud was all around him. His helmet display flickered as it tried to lock onto targets. He was bleeding. He could feel it now, could feel the muscles in his legs squeezing around the pieces of shrapnel that had found the soft seals between armor plates. It was not pain yet, but it would be. He broke through the dust. An echoing quiet greeted him. 2 of his brother Huskarls ran with him. Dorn was ahead of them, moving into the centre of the Investiture circle. Arcamus signalled the other Huskarls, and they formed an arrowhead with their Primarch at the tip. A volley of bolts exploded in front of them. Shards of stone chimed as they struck Arcamus's armour. Dorn paused, aimed and fired once. The incoming fire cut off. Silence had slid back into place across the Investiture. The wind pulled at the smoke. Dorn shook his head.
"This is not as it should be," he said.
"Lord?"
asked Arcamus. The adrenaline was still burning in his veins. His eyes were scanning for targets, but none moved in his sight.
"They mined the entrance, but nowhere else," said Dorn. "If they had time to do that, they could have wired traps into the ground. They have not."
"They might have, but the charges failed," replied Arcamus.
"They have not," repeated Dorn, turning again. "They are still here. 5 are dead, but others remain. 2, at least."
Arcamus reached up and pulled his helmet off. The buzz of static from his damaged vox vanished. The quiet wrapped around him. He could sense nothing, and the reek of explosives and dust filled his nose.
We should seal the entrances and bring the gunships over.
Dawn glanced at Arcamus, and a spark, hard and bright, seemed to catch at the edge of his eye. He shook his head, and Arcamus recognized something in the expression that he had not seen in his lord for a long time. Rage.
No, Arcamus. No one comes to the heart of this fortress and forces me back into a hole. We go forwards. We find them.
He paused, and Arcamus watched a muscle move and settle in Dawn's jaw.
We take the last of them alive.
Arcamus nodded, but Dawn was already moving forwards. Above them, the graven faces of the Primarchs looked down on them like a court of gods standing in judgment on the living. Silonius lay utterly still beneath the shroud. His armor and bodysuit had shifted to the white-gray of the marble he clung to. He could hear the Imperial fists moving across the investiture. He stilled his breath. Four of the others had died in as many seconds when Dawn had stepped from the dust cloud. Silonius could almost feel the Primarch's presence, like the edge of a sword held just above the skin. He turned his head, unfolding the muscles a fraction at a time, until he was looking at the small charges attached to the shroud tethers. The last one still needed to be armed. Once he did that, his lifespan was measured in seconds. Dawn would hear the noise, and a bolt would pluck away Silonius's life before he heard the gunshot. That was a problem. Dying was not part of the mission parameter, but neither was failure. He reached out for the charge and snapped the arming mechanism closed. Gunfire whipped out towards Silonius, but he was already dropping from the shrouded statue. He yanked the blind grenades from his harness as he fell, landed, and pulled the arming pins as he rolled. He came to his feet running, tossing the grenades behind and in front of him. A cloud of white mist burst from the first grenade as he broke from cover. The world beyond the cloud vanished. The clatter and roar of bolter fire echoed from the stone as shots cut the air around him. He swerved, breaking the rhythm of his run as the other two grenades triggered. Fresh clouds of blank white gas filled the air. He was running down a corridor of clear air between expanding clouds. The sounds of gunfire distorted. A bolt round flicked out of the cloud and exploded at his feet. Shrapnel ripped through the fabric over his thighs. Blood pumped from the wound as he ran. He pulled the detonator from his belt. It was a black cylinder as long as his hand was wide. Dials etched with numbers capped one end. A simple switch was at the other. Any other surviving infiltrators would be doing the same, and all would be making for their escape routes. He reached the wall running along the edge of the amphitheater and ran along it until he found the drainage grate. It was raw plasteel, plated in bronze and welded in place. He locked a melter bomb onto it and ducked aside as the metal became vapor. He looked up. The statues of the Primarchs loomed above the dust and smoke. Gunfire rattled in the murk. He did not know which escape routes the others were making for. It did not matter. He turned the dial on the bottom of the detonator wand. The figure came out of the fog at a run. Silonius jerked sideways. His bolter was in his hand, finger pulling the trigger. He froze. The other infiltrator stared back, gun aimed at Silonius. Dark recon armor covered his torso, shoulders, and shins. Dark green and blue fabric swathed his head. Blood was clotting in tears in the fabric over his arms. He was breathing hard from traumatic shock.
The charges are set,
coughed the other infiltrator, and swayed. Silonius nodded slowly.
Good,
he said, and shot him. The warrior fell where he stood, his skull scattered in red fragments across the stone floor. Silonius stepped towards the drainage grating and looked up one last time. He had a clear route from here out of the palace and to the next element of his mission. He had not replied in kind when the other infiltrator had given the mission parameter as Eurydice. Even though his mind was still locked behind blank doors, one of the first things that had come back to him was the reason he was here. He had a mission, the end of which he could not see, but which he would follow, and the parameter of that mission was not Eurydice. It was Orpheus. He keyed the detonator and dropped into darkness, as above him, the roof of the Imperium shook. The first explosion cut through the sound of gunfire like an axe blow through flesh. Arcamus turned in its direction. The statue of Lion L. Johnson trembled where it stood. Cracks raced over the contours of armor. The face of the first Primarch split, and the cracks raced through the blade he held to his chest. Then a second explosion ripped through the base of the statue. It fell. Carved fabric and flesh broke apart. Shards exploded as they hit the floor. A wave of dust spilled through the air. Another explosion, and another. And the Khan was a shattered ruin on the stone floor, and rust was toppling, and the sound rose up to greet the rising sun. Detonations raced around the circle of statues, ripping them from their plinths and shattering them as they fell. Arcamus just had time to clamp his helmet in place before the blast waves enveloped him. The world was dust again. The ground shivered beneath his feet, and the thunder of explosions rolled on, growing and growing, until at last it faded. Pieces of marble rang on his helm like heavy rain.
"Lord!"
he shouted. His helmet display had cut out completely.
"I am here," said Dawn from close by.
The dust drained slowly from the air. The sight of the sky returned first, the light breaking into colored rays as it fell through the cloud. Then other shapes appeared, the high tiers of the Investree's bowl, the high towers of the palace, the top of the Pillar of Unity. Then, one at a time, the shapes of the two remaining statues emerged. 8 traitors had fallen. The wind stirred the tatters of their shrouds amongst the rubble they had become. Here and there a recognizable fragment remained, the reaching claws of Kurz, the single eye of Magnus set in his proud face, the hand of Horus resting on the pommel of his sword. Of the 9 brothers still loyal to the Emperor, 1 remained unbroken amid the devastation. Rogel Dorn, Primarch of the 7th Legion, Praetorian of Terror, stood against the sky, his eyes set on the rising sun. Dawn stared at the carved image of himself, and then turned to look at the only other statue that now stood unshrouded and unbroken. Fabric had hidden its features for years, but a series of small charges had cut the ropes holding the covering in place. The shroud now lay at its feet, shed like a snake's skin. Arcamus almost thought he saw a grim smile flicker on his lord's face as he looked up, as though a suspicion had become a certainty. Above the investiture, face hidden behind a crested helm, weight leaning on a spear, the tip of which pierced the throat of a two-headed serpent at his feet, stood Alpharius. Dawn stood looking up, his face unreadable, his eyes hard and dark.
"No one enters here besides my Huskarls. Not the custodians, not others from the Legion, not the vassals of the Regent."
"And the Regent himself?"
"No one," said Dawn, then gestured at the settling dust. "Bring servitors in to sift the rubble. Every scrap of evidence left by the enemy will be found."
"Lord,"
began Arcamus, looking down at where the carved feather of an angel's wing lay amongst a jumble of broken marble. It was Pendelikon marble, threaded with fine grey veins and shaped with such skill that it seemed as though feathers had been transmuted into stone rather than carved, exquisite even in ruin.
"What?"
The words stopped in his throat. He looked up and met his Primarch's eyes.
"What was this, Lord?"
Rogel Dorn was still for a long second, and then he looked up at the statue of Alpharius, then to where his own carved image stood amongst the rubble.
"It was a message," he said,
and then strode away through the settling dust.